Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of I don't know what the fuck. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Holly's Laugh and Aaron O'Brien.
What's up?
We just got a laugh track for Holly this week. It'll be great.
Guys, we're going to take off our Starfleet uniforms and we're going to get on.
Get naked.
We're going to get naked. We're going to
put on a chainmail coif.
We're going to get our swords out, and we're going to get our laser pistols and malfunctioning robots.
R2-D2 rejects from the concept pile.
And don't forget to bring the ice for your drinks, because we are talking about ice pirates.
Sounds like ass pirates sometimes.
It's a little bit like ass pirates. This is a 1984 movie released March 16th, 1984. Its budget was $9 million.
No way. That's bullshit.
And
they stole stuff from every other movie on the lot. What they spend the money on?
Well, maybe we can get into that later. But then its box office in a U.S. Was $14 million. So it's, it didn't double its money, but it did okay.
It didn't do enough to make the sequel that. And continue the story.
No one wanted.
Yeah, but also the movie doesn't really end. It just stops.
It does.
There is no ending. There's no, it's like.
No good wrap up. At
I mean,
end
they're
there.
Still being pursued. The last 15 minutes of the film is retconned.
Well, no, there's something that happens, but they got that. Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. I thought they were still big. It was unclearish. I see what you mean. Yeah.
A final scene got cut. So, yeah. Anyways.
But we do have some Starfleet news. Speaking of Starfleet uniforms, they're wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Are they wrong?
Yeah, they are.
They're different.
No, they're wrong.
Why are they wrong?
Because, TNG movie and DS9 era, they had the gray shoulders with just the cuffs showing the signify what division you're from. They've regressed to TNG era uniforms. Unless those are the new uniforms, the gray ones, and they're still the new uniforms 20 years later and only a couple of people still wear them.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Look, in Deep Space Nine, they had the gray shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And that's the new uniform. And they just had a little bit of red, yellow, and blue showing for the cuffs that are on the neck. Mm-hmm. And in the Picard, the leaked photos, they're back to early DS9 style uniforms where it's color all the way across the shoulders instead of the gray.
It's 20 years in the future, so who knows what the uniforms changed to?
They regressed.
But also, you don't really know the context of the film of the leaked photo. You know, it could be that he just kind of broke out his old uniform for shits and giggles or something.
Well, it's not him; it's everyone around him. He's just he's wearing civvy clothes. He looks like he's like on base or something or at the academy, and there's a bunch of people walking around in old style TNG uniforms.
Maybe it's a dream.
Honestly, it didn't look like it looked like totally different style. Like the collars were different. So, seemed taller. I saw there was a leaked YouTube video real quick of somebody asking who Picard was, and he has like a surprised look on his face, like, yeah, you don't know who I am. So
I'm the juggernaut, bitch!
Yeah. And then, obviously, we had we got the set shot of, like, you know, Patrick Stewart standing in the middle of a bunch of people, so which looks like it's on Earth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's probably Starfleet Academy or somewhere in San Francisco where there's a heavy Starfleet presence.
Yep.
Or maybe he's back home in France.
Maybe. But yeah, so that's basically what we got. And we know they're, they started to film, this month or last month.
Yeah. I think it was end of April they started shooting.
Yep.
Yep.
So, they're going ahead at it. And, the other thing we found out was Amazon will be carrying it and not Netflix.
Yeah.
Internationally,
but not yeah. for, it's, but not for.
We lowly Americans have to pay CBS All Access the dollar for it.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Instead of our existing subscription of Amazon Prime and Netflix, which I do have both.
I know. So, again, we get the old Scroogerino.
I wonder if Nickelodeon's going to have their own streaming platform that'll be have the exclusive Star Trek animated show.
Who knows?
No details on that yet.
Yeah, so that's cool. I mean, that's I have to say, I mean, I remember Patrick Stewart, obviously, in the movie Logan, and he was looking pretty old, but I always figured that they, you know.
They aged him up a little bit for Logan.
But he's not looking as young as I thought he did, honestly.
Yeah, well, he was in that TV show. What was that TV show he was in?
Oh, I forgot the name of it.
The head of it.
The Young and the Restless?
No, he was not in The Young and the Restless. I don't know. It was like he was the head of a company.
All These Days? Blunt Talk.
Blunt Talk. That sounds familiar.
That was his two or three season Showtime show, I think?
You know, I was going to watch that, and I never
did. I watched the first season. It was all right. And I don't think – I just didn't have the show, the premium channel anymore when season two came on, and then it got canceled. Mm. So I was like, oh, I missed that.
Gotcha. Right.
Well, cool. So should we get into Ice Pirates?
Let's do it.
If we have
Let's
to.
Let's do it.
With
come on, man.
Cutlass in hand. Let's do yes. this.
Let's do it. So
I do love these pirates, so –
I know. Hey, who doesn't like a good pirate? So
well, we get. I wouldn't say these are good pirates.
Well, they do okay. Let's say.
All right, lead us in.
We're in the future, and water is a scarce commodity, and it's basically money. So you can pay people in ice cubes, apparently. So. the people who are hoarding in this are the Templar, and they have we get the opening scene of Jason, who's Robert Urich, and they're spying on ready to
his crew.
with his crew ready to take on this Templar ship and try to steal their ice or their water from them. So that's the idea behind it when you first start. So just in the beginning of it, you kind of see that. It's 1984, but this is like, you know, some bad effects, and the sets are just really silly, you know. I don't know.
And when you describe it, it sounds futuristic and interesting, and like these pirates are going to look cool.
So just imagine discarded sets from Buck Rogers, discarded uniforms from a King Arthur movie, right. Discarded uniforms from... I don't know.
Something like Arabian Nights.
Battlestar Galactica.
Uh-huh.
A random Greek dress outfit. men and cowboy wear. So they robbed a Western set. So I don't think... Where'd they spend all this money? They just literally just were like picking and choosing from whatever was laying around the studio, it looked like.
Well, you were just thinking about set designs, but you still got to pay people, so.
Yeah, but like $9 million back then just to pay the people? That's kind of a lot.
There's a lot of people
and they
in the
also,
movie.
And they also stole some Star Trek sound effects. The torpedo sound.
And we got to talk about that music. That music is so dated. It's like an early Errol Flynn pirate movie music.
Yeah, I have a similar thought. It's so funny that it's such a futuristic film, and they definitely went for campy pirate.
They totally did.
It's so funny. Like it's
swords
bad.
and rope swinging.
Even the calligraphy with the names are all like that. You know, scribe. You know, like
yeah, like English Sanskrit.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name? Sinbad kind of
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's yeah. It's so silly. So
if only Sinbad was in this.
I do have to say, though, I loved the mishmash of the costumes and everything.
It's great. It's pretty cool. I like it. I mean, it's funny. It's just, as long as you don't take it seriously, you're going to have a good time.
Right.
Somehow, this is still not as bad as the Sci-Fi Channel Dune with the crazy costumes in that. That was awful. They were hard to look at.
I don't think I watched that.
It was awful. I mean, at least these are regular costumes. They're just mishmashed. And that one, the costuming was just awful.
Strangely enough, Dune was released in the same year, 1984.
Not the Sci-Fi Channel one. That was in 2000 when the Sci-Fi one came out.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm talking about David Lynch's Dune. Conan Destroyer was out. Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom.
And it's so funny because you can feel that when you watch this movie. You can feel all of the same movies that came out in that era. Yes. Even though this was a farce and meant to be a comedy, like, you could just feel the era in this film, which is great. Totally.
Trying to copy Alien and several other films with some of their shots and failing miserably.
Boy, you're harsh just for a joke movie. We get next is... he gets his crew. So his crew is Roscoe, who is a black guy who's good at fixing robots. He's kind of like the technician.
And looking like a girl laying in bed.
What?
What?
He looked like, before I saw his face, it looked like it was like a lady laying in bed in that one scene where the space herpy comes out. I thought that was a woman at first, and then it showed his face like, oh, he's got a very smooth body.
This is how the costume was laid over him. It looked like... he was shirtless. Obviously, he had to be in order to see the wound, but it was like an off-the-shoulder look, and that's a very feminine thing. That's all.
It looked like a lady until I saw the film. I was like, oh, is that a naked lady? I'm like, no, not a lady.
It's funny. I was singing the same song. Aerosmith. That's Roscoe's Michael D. Roberts. He's a famous actor. He's in a ton of movies and TV shows. Mata, and that's Angelica Houston, who, like we said, or off mic, we said,
Morticia Adams.
Matricia Adams, thank you. Ron Perlman plays Zeno.
Hellboy, woo!
Yeah, Hellboy, yeah. So that's his crew, and then a bunch of robots that are really, really bad at, Roscoe didn't program them pretty good, so.
The personalities of these robots is hysterical.
Yeah, like one keeps on shaking and the other one keeps on kicking the other one, so.
Right. And even like the Templars robots all had a personality. It's just so funny.
Yeah, no, it was funny. And
the one shits itself.
Yeah, the one shits itself during battle, exactly. So they dock onto the ship and they cut a hole into it and they infiltrate the ship and then they're going to try to get the ice, but during the travels
they infiltrate the bathroom.
Yeah, yes.
That's the weirdest scene. They just walk in on an alien taking a dump.
It's great.
I mean, well, you have no way of knowing which room you're going into.
It's
in the kitchen.
It's a great idea, actually. And like, I like how they all walk by him, take care of him. And the last guy just
shit, that's me. Which was Ron Perlman.
Yeah, and he hits him on the head. So, which I thought at first he stabbed him in the head, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just knocked him in the head. So they get on the ship, and one of the things they run into is the nanny for the princess. This is Princess Karina, and this is Mary Crosby, who is just that's Bing Crosby's daughter. So
is that Tasha Yar's mom?
What? No,
isn't she related to Bing Crosby, Denise Crosby?
I don't think so. Oh, you're right. Oh no, Denise Crosby. Yeah. You're correct. That's her niece.
Banff.
Oh, I thought they were related. So, yeah, I wasn't sure about the relation, but I thought there might have been something there.
That's her niece. Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know Denise Crosby was actually related to Bing Crosby.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I know things and stuff sometimes.
Are you going to start singing Moana to me?
I'm going to sing as much as I possibly can on this episode.
Synthaholic is the musical. Go for it, Holly.
Right.
So, yeah, so anyways, he runs into the nanny of the princess, and she's, like, for some reason, frozen. Like, they don't need to do this, but I guess she is. She's sort of like
a really fancy skin treatment. She's
They got those places at the mall where they spray the cold air at you, and it's supposed to tighten up your skin. She's just going in for a full-body facial.
I guess. It's got to be pretty cool.
Could be fat sculpting.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I mean. Like at the mall, you've got the thing where they shoot the cold air at you.
Oh.
Well, anyways, so Jason sees her and he's like, "Whoa, who is this?" And
they bring up raping and pillaging at this point too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tries to peek down her bosom.
Yeah. So, but they get pulled away. And they go to where the storage area for the ice is. And, the nanny sees them, and they have a robot just holding her down.
Isn't that funny? Like, they just left their robot.
Yeah. I love how the robots are almost just leave that guy. He's fine. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, look down there.
The robots are probably the one thing they spent money on, because they didn't remind me of anything.
Yeah, but they were pretty silly. Well, I mean,
they were like... though. They were like rubber suits, really. Yeah. They weren't really metal. They just had to...
Like the cuts.
Just made a bunch of different parts and slapped them all together and said, all right, this is your personality. This is your personality. You're short, so we're going to make you a ninja.
Rubber suits is like the awful lava monsters that was cut from Star Trek V.
Yes. And so... So they find the ice where it's being held, and then they're going to go to the control room or the bridge or whatever that is. And the Templars are there, and they get the upper hand.
They're literally dressed like Knights Templar.
Yes, they are.
Chainmail. And the colored koi for the family house. And then there's also Twinks sitting on the bridge.
Twinks, they're eunuchs.
Eunuch, that's what they are. Twink eunuchs.
Yeah, they're eunuchs that have been... castrated and lobotomized. Given
giant cod pieces.
I don't know if they're cod pieces.
They were all sitting down. How would you know?
How'd you know, Dave?
Educated guess. And also, whenever they were also standing in a line later, it seemed like they were wearing cod pieces later on, so I just assumed it was the same for all of them.
Well, at the slave factory, you couldn't see anything like that.
Well,
when she was buying the slaves,
though. But a cod piece is definitely medieval, so maybe I
period.
Just...
is definitely period.
Sorry, I don't look at crotch. That's you. Kidding, Dave.
Anyways.
I do the hard research, so you guys don't have to.
I bet you do the hard research.
Yes, I said hard. I did say hard on purpose. And I did say twink on purpose. Yes. I picked my words.
I guess you did. So one of the eunuchs or twinks... hits the alarm button to let the rest of the fleet know that they're under attack. And a fight breaks out on the bridge with the robots, and they kind of are pushed out of the bridge. And we had a great scene of them fighting, and Ron Perlman's hand gets cut off during the fight. Mm-hmm. Which is like, you're like, whoa, holy shit, they cut a guy's hand off. So
well, he's got to grow the big stone Hellboy hand. So, I mean, it's got to start somehow.
I was hoping for a hook.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
He had eye patches and no hooks.
Yeah, no hooks. So they are escaping from the ship because the robots, their robots are all just pretty shitty, actually, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They keep short-circuiting. They keep, you know, like not wanting to fight. And anyways, they get...
But he goes for the princess to kidnap her.
Yeah, he goes and gets her, and then brings the nanny along, too. They get back on the ship to escape, and they're given pursuit by the Templar fleet. Their ship splits into three.
Which was cool.
That's a cool idea. Never seen that before. Not to my knowledge, especially back then.
Right.
But unfortunately... they do get caught.
Unfortunately, they're not very good pirates, and they get caught.
Yeah, so the whole thing's botched, and the other different ships did escape. It seemed like, but anyways, so Jason, the leader of the pirates, and his buddy Roscoe are brought in And they're going to be, like we said before, they're going to be turned into eunuchs or twinks. And
what the hell is a twink?
Twink is like a gay, really small, gay, effeminate man.
Yeah, they're more the effeminate side to that. So yeah,
it's probably not a.
I don't think it's an accurate term. I think they just strip them of their identity so they can form them anew.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, they lobotomize them and castrate them. So
right.
And then they wear these white wigs and these
powdered
terrible eyebrows and facial hair,
and the like the body suits.
The body, like yeah, the what do you want to call it? Jumpsuits or whatever?
Leotard.
The spandex.
Leotard. Yeah.
So we get this great scene of where they're being first they're being hauled away in like the prison ship, and one of the guys they run into is Killjoy. They don't know who he is, but he first says, "Oh, only the holy people, the monks, are they don't castrate them
in case there is a god."
Yeah, and then later on, that guy he's in the monk's cloak. So he stole the guy's cloak, the monk's cloak, just to get out of it. That was pretty funny.
I did enjoy Killjoy.
Killjoy's great. Then
there's a conveyor belt.
Yeah,
and it's hilarious.
Yeah, so they're like cutting their clothes off with like a saw, and then they get lathered up by these girls
and then, shaving cream so they can shave them hairless.
And then there's an old guy with a straight razor like shaking. Oh my god, I was laughing so hard at
that. Did you guys notice that like they put shaving cream on his chest, but they didn't actually shave his chest?
Yeah, they never shaved his chest.
That's what made me start thinking twink whenever they were shaving their bodies like perfectly smooth. I was like, huh, that's kind of weird.
Mm.
Well, there you go. So then they get to the final scene, and this is the scene when I saw this.
Clamper.
Yeah, when I saw this when I was a kid, like it was on HBO or something like that, and that was like what the hell. But, so they're going down the conveyor belt, strapped down, of course, and this machine's going to bite basically their dick off.
The willy.
Their balls off.
I think the whole thing seemed a little messy, but so in this scene where they're screaming, and then as they get through, they think it happened, but it doesn't, because they're like, oh my god, and then they see the princess is there, and says, he says, just stay quiet.
And pretend that it happened and, yeah.
Do as they say, and because if you don't, it will happen. So then we get a whole scene where she picks out what
slave. Picks them out of a lineup.
Yeah, what slave she's going to buy. So, and she picks Roscoe and Jason. And then there's this really over-the-top cheesy 80s party.
Oh, the masquerade ball.
Yes.
Yes.
And Jason and Roscoe are serving drinks as the eunuchs, and she's kind of like talking to everybody, and you know she's like all these, you know, rich people, and you know,
dignitaries, and
yeah, and this is where we also see Killjoy at some point. He's hiding in like a robot's armor or knight's armor. I don't know what it was supposed to be, but
yeah, in a closet.
He's like, "Give me a sandwich.
Bring me a sandwich."
Steve
wants us to bring him a sandwich.
But then
anything
later,
with sugar in it.
But then the princess says, "Hey, you know, we're going to get out of here in about like you know half an hour or something. We're going to go to this pirate.
You're taking moon. Me to Pirate Moon.
Yeah, and they're like, that's kind of a dangerous place. You really want to go there? And she says, I got to find my father. So
that's where the dim there ripping and the pillaging happens.
And so as they're ready to leave, Zorn comes out of nowhere and says, Princess, I want to talk to you. And then she just bolts, which I thought was kind of weird.
He saw her. Well, she was a little too chummy with them. He saw her before that, and he asked her, you know, why the interest? And she was like, oh, I saw them in the lineup, and I found found it ironic to make them slaves. And then he saw her speaking with them, and he was like, oh, that bitch.
Yeah.
So she had to book it.
And, and so he's like, you know, get them. You know, Zorn's like, get those three people. And so they start running out, and you know, robots and everything are running after them. And this is where we see they get in a motorcycle with Killjoy, and they all start taking off and riding through these hallways and cities.
It wasn't a chariot.
Yeah, and what was hilarious was, you know, like they like crash into like a robot family.
Baby, mommy, baby, mommy.
Yeah, they crash it. Like they just obliterate a family as they drive normal.
Poor daddy robot.
Yeah, daddy robot's going to be
like. See later, and he's still traumatized.
Traumatized for the rest of his life. And then from there, they're going, they keep running to the, they're running away from all the robots and police, and they, you know, give chase through the whole city, and they get to their spaceship and they take off, and Zorn and his people are going to try to follow them or, you know, catch up with them. So the deal is the princess says when on the ship, says there's water on the ship and you can have that. But first we're gonna find my father. That's the deal. And you're gonna do everything I say. And if not, you know, I'll just self-destruct the ship and you'll never get any water. So
fuckers.
So they get to Pirate Planet, and it's a fun place.
The women are molesting each other in the streets. Yeah,
women are punching each other's lights out. And it's really weird because like when women fight, they knock over some water and people are just like all diving for the water.
Yeah.
To drink
it. Accidental white t-shirt contest.
And
it's just so funny because everything in this film brings some kind of memory back or some kind of vibe. And that is total Renaissance Festival.
You forgot behavior, about the space be hatching.
Right.
The washer wenches who fucking, you know, fight each other all the time. And, like, it's just so funny.
It's great. And then there's even.
And yeah, we did forget about the hatching of the herp.
Did that happen at that point?
Because once she walks off the bridge, you know, they go to sleep and they're navigating and the egg hatches and it crawls up to Roscoe and latches onto his back and he's like, dude, what'd you fucking put on me? And Jason's like, I don't do anything. What's your problem? Why are you bleeding? And then it's on him and then it runs off.
And he looks through the ship's manifest and finds out what it is.
That it's the herp.
Yeah, the herpes. Yeah,
the space
herpes. Yeah. It's great.
Back to
actually the space herpes thing is probably maybe one of the most memorable thing of this whole movie.
Yeah. Killjoy comes up and he's like leaning on the ship and they're like, well, the ship has herpes.
he puts his hand off the ship. Like, what? Yeah, that's great.
Of course they don't tell the princess.
No, of course not. which it sets up for a joke later on. So they get onto Pirate Moon, and they
go to a restaurant.
Yeah, there's some dive bar restaurant, and one of the guys there watching them come in, he's getting his boost shined, and he tells this big guy that basically this is these guys are the guys who, you know, they have a bounty on. So and we hear there's a bounty on their head too. So, but Jason and Roscoe reunite with the rest of his crew since they got split up since they're messing up the Templar ice ship raid. And, you know, Ron Perlman's got his hand back, must have grew it back. And what's her name? Angelica Houston's there.
Ron Perlman's Deadpool?
They didn't explain the hand. I really wanted it.
I just assumed they grew it back or something like that.
This your is defense the system is basically the game Galaga.
Yeah.
But you can regrow your hand. Like, please discuss.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is like all these old movies, like the graphics and stuff like that are so like Atari cheesy, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, the technology is like out of this world. So, yeah. So, and, then we get a scene where, Roscoe and Ron Perlman and, I think it's Killjoy all go to another bar. And from there, they have to get a ride to find this guy who knows, where, the princess's father is. And, mm-hmm. but he's in hiding for some reason. And he's like 50 miles away. And they have to go there, but they have to get like a vehicle And so they have to talk to this weird frog lady.
Yeah, Jason's like, hey, princess, go hit on that guy. He's going to be our ride. And she goes over to do it. And it turns out it's a chick and she wants Jason.
Yeah.
Great. And he's like, God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was totally a dude.
I don't know. I think it was a woman, actually.
No, I think when they were actually at the table, well, it wasn't the same voice as the person. Like, when they were at the table, I'm pretty sure it was a dude. But when they were in the vehicle the next scene, it was definitely a female.
Frog Lady is played by Marcia Lewis. So, but anyways.
Well, between now, what's her name?
Sounds like a dude.
Maida. She gets in a...
Oh, she gets in a
sword fight with one of the bounty hunters and fucks up the...
Cuts his head off.
The only guy with the eye patch. The only guy with, piratical indicators. The eye patch guy.
And she sort of does, a Zorro thing.
Yeah.
Cuts his cheek. Oh, no, that wasn't Zorro. That was Inigo Montoya from...
you're right. That was Inigo Montoya.
Cuts his cheeks.
Get him, my father. To die. It used to be my cell phone chime, and it pissed Michael off so bad because it was like, "Stop saying that."
That's hilarious. It's actually pretty cool. She cuts off the one bounty hunter's head, which I remember seeing it younger, and it was like it freaked me out. But it was like now looking, it's just like a dummy that falls over.
Right.
It's like the cheesiest effect ever. It's hilarious.
This movie is so cheesy.
So bad. So bad. It's like everything. All the scenes.
Cheese.
I really hope that all of the listeners from last week who heard that this is what we were going to talk about, I really hope they rented it and watched it.
I know. I do too. I know. So they know what we're talking about.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Ice Pirates downloads or digital views shot up by 100.
Right.
Was it zero?
Exactly. I know. Right. Exactly. It's like all the sets, if they weren't like the spaceship, they were like an old like factory or something like that. So it's like so hilarious. So she takes out, Maida takes out the two bounty hunters, and the one guy apologizes, but she still cuts his eye patch off. And,
that wasn't very sincere.
That was very sincere. So they take off to go see this guy who's hiding.
The desert.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hiding way out in the deserts with the frog lady because she's got a car. She's got wheels.
Well, he's not hiding with the frog lady. The frog lady.
She has a solar powered giant Pinewood Derby Boy Scouts car.
Doesn't it look like one of those wooden cars you whittle in shop class?
Yeah. Pinewood Derby car. That's what it is.
Oh.
But it's got solar panels on it.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. So they get to where he's hiding, and they're out there, and she says, yeah, I know who your father is, and he found the seventh world, and it's like basically a plant that's filled with water. And he says when we, their whole crew had been changed after seeing the seventh world. They said
it's filled with salt water.
There'd be no more wars and stuff like that. That's what they're saying. So, but
and the Templar can't have that.
Yeah, but during that time, the other thing was they said, what happened to you? And he says, you're an old man now. And he's like, well, I used to be young, but I went through this time warp and it turned me 20 years older or something. So
in the time warp.
And
no.
So then the bounty hunters come back, Mad Max style, and this giant, ridiculous vehicle. And they all start taking off, and they get into the frog lady's car, but she gets cooked alive by one of their lasers.
And they just run her over too, don't they?
No, that was the robot. Up. Yeah, they blew her up. They ran over the robot just once, and then the robot laid down for one time. I don't know. That was weird.
He was crushed, and then they were going in circles, and he sat up, and he was gonna get up. But then he was like, oh, fuck it. And he
down. Yeah, I know. So they take off. And then there's a whole, Jason jumps onto their vehicle and starts fighting them all. And last minute, he knocks off most of the mercenaries.
Very piratical,
Very, very much so. And then they hit something and, the whole thing blows up. And unfortunately, their vehicle got turned over, and the old guy that knew the princess's father. His back is broken.
But he dies anyway.
So their plan is to find the seventh world, and they have to walk back to, you know, the, what are the main city on Pirate Moon.
But before what's his name dies, he mentions that when they go to these coordinates, they have to maintain those coordinates.
Yes,
and cannot skew one teensy tiny little bit.
Right.
Or else they'll get stuck in it forever.
Right. So they basically start to ready to head off for that. And this is where we get into this weird world of Amazon women riding unicorns.
Yeah. Bikini clad women on unicorns.
So you guys said this was going to be up my alley. This is the first point where it started to become up my alley.
I don't know how you were not laughing.
Dick jokes and racist jokes and women that are practically naked and eunuchs. How is this not up your alley? Like, so much material for your jokingness.
I know.
It takes bikini-clad women on unicorns.
I've still been joking. Man, it's such a mismatch that it just was like, what?
I feel like, you know what's funny? What's funny is that this is like the first film that we've all discussed together that has definitely warranted dick and ball jokes, and there have been less of them than normal.
Dave hasn't said hardly any. It's hilarious.
I made a twink joke.
You did make a twink joke, yeah.
I mean, that's what came to mind during the castration scene, where they're shaving them, making them all look feminine. Twinks. I was like, huh. I mean, that was my initial thought.
So, women on unicorns.
Amazon space women riding unicorns. And they are guarding a man named Wenton. And when they meet Wenton, he's just annoying as fuck. And at a certain point, Roscoe got separated from them. And so when it looks like Wenton's going to get them both killed or get Jason killed, Roscoe comes in at the last minute, swings in and hits Wenton in the chest. And Wenton, we find out,
his little head falls. Well, not his little head. His head falls.
He's just
off.
A head. He's just a head. That's all he is. His body was completely false.
Right.
So, the princess is going to blow Wenton's head up with her, with a laser pistol. And
she tells him where her father is, because at this point he's keeping her father hostage,
right?
And won't let them see him.
So the Amazon women all back off, and then they go to this separate room with Wenton.
They are strangely painted and to look ripped, but some of them were actually ripped, and I was very confused at why they were trying to accentuate the rippedness more, because their bodies and their faces stopped matching when they did that. They didn't match the makeup from their bodies to their faces. I was like, huh?
You know, maybe it's the kind of war paint kind of thing.
Yeah.
So when they get to the oval room, the princess goes to her father, and he stands up, and he's like, daughter. He's like, dad. And they hug, and then
she realizes he's an automaton.
Yeah, this is not my father. And Roscoe basically looks at him and finds out, yeah, he's a robot, like, you know, an android. And they take him apart, and she's like, there has to be some hidden message somewhere in here. And finally, he says there's some coordinates on it, or some hidden code in there. It's a ring. He goes, a ring. He had a ring. And Wenton's just on their ship at the moment, just as a head.
Just a head sitting on the desk.
And he goes, oh, the ring. And he like spits it out. And like Jason goes, you got anything else in there? And he's like, no, you want to put something in there later? And I'm like,
would you like to deposit something later?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we can put that space Herbie in there.
I did love how the princess took her father's ring and her ring and made that weird little gadget. That was really cool. So kudos to them for that.
That's a cool design. And so the two rings together makes this hologram message and gives them the coordinates of where her father is at the seventh world. And so they know where to go. And at the last scene, Killjoy grabs Wenton. And it's like, you know, you wonder what Killjoy's going to do with Wenton. That's what I wondered when he walked away with him.
He wanted to deposit something.
I guess. So Anyways,
it's the futuristic fleshlight.
Yeah, that's. I mean, come on, really.
He's kind of a tool, so he'd probably blight it off.
Yeah, I know. He'd probably bite it. You wouldn't want that.
We find out what's happening to him later.
Yeah. So the crew takes off and they're going into this time warp area where they have to travel through. And like Holly said before, they had to stay exactly on these coordinates. They can't deviate or things could go really bad. But time is going faster for them. And then
as soon as they get in, they have the Templars on their tail, who surprisingly, you know, overcome their vessel and, you know, storm their ship.
The princess and the hero.
Oh, the sex.
They waste so much water in this sex scene. Because there's a joke from the sec after the sex scene and the time warp thing.
Dude, was it a waste? I don't know that it was a waste.
I don't know.
No. I didn't say it was a waste. I said it was.
They wasted a bunch of water.
Oh yeah. They did waste a bunch of water. If it's the most valuable thing in the world, they're getting it all dirty with sex juices and sweat.
I would do that. I would waste the water for that.
Yeah, I think
that would be hot. But I'm just saying, like in a world where water is that rare,
she's a princess, and they're going to the seventh planet.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They feel safe wasting the water. That's good.
It's probably recycled.
It was like a hologram. Yeah. It was like a hologram when the hologram started raining.
It's literally a holodeck sex room.
Yeah.
It looked like it was just a backdrop at first, and then all of a sudden it started raining inside.
I love the montage after Jason starts to go down on the princess, like all the
crashing waves.
Yeah. Like, oh my god, you guys are so cheesy.
It was slightly suggestive.
Don't you need to be at the helm?
Yeah, exactly. if you exist. It's all right. We'll get right on that. So that's when they find out the Templars are chasing them, and they rush up.
Clearly, they finished before that.
Something happened in between that.
Well, I mean, she finished because he had the water. Well, I guess they both because she does end up pregnant.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I was getting at.
So the Templars catch up with their ship, and they start invading with their robots. Their robots are far superior than Roscoe's robots.
And he's got the black robot, and he's like, I love it. I love that movies from the 80s are not PC. And he's like, okay, so why did you make him black? And he's like, I wanted him to be the best. And then the robot shows up, and he's like, hey!
it's so bad. So there's a whole fight scene, and what's great about it is that time keeps speeding up during it. So they just speed up the film. So if Jason's walking down a corridor, he goes faster than normal, and the fight scenes take faster than normal.
But they did a good job with that.
Well, they did, but it's funny. And then what we're seeing is that the robots start, like, their parts start wearing out. So, like, there are certain parts that aren't, like, they just start breaking on them. And then everyone's hair starts growing longer.
Princess is ill, and she goes to her chambers, and Jason has to go see her because she's not well, and he finds that she's given birth to a child.
She has a baby right away.
And he's like, I'm sorry, and he runs away.
Yeah,
he's like, I do have other pressing matters. And she's like,
sorry about that. Yeah.
And she looks at the kid and he's like, sorry about that. And he like, leaves.
Do you want to hold him? No, not really.
Yeah, not really. And then the baby pees right in his face, which is hilarious too.
Right.
And then we get this great scene with, the fight goes on, Killjoy gets stabbed. Ron Perlman's character just falls over dead.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm getting too old for this, and he just dies. And then we got a scene with Jason and Roscoe are just like super old. It's like Roscoe's got the biggest fro, big white fro you've ever
seen. It was amazing.
So funny. So huge. And he's like, you're not looking so good. And he goes, you're not looking so hot yourself. And then we get the scene where Robert Urich comes charging in and starts to take out the rest of the robots, and the princess runs out, and she's super old.
before that, the ship actually like crashes through the, like the hangar bay, and he's like, "I'm gonna take you out, like it's time." And like his robots come down, and then that's when.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
I mean, the nanny, son
takes them all out.
This, and he's like, "Chip off the old block."
I love how the princess, who was not played by the same character, but it was just so funny that she comes out almost like totally oblivious. She's like, "Oh, honey, it's our son." I'd have been like, "Look, motherfucker, that's our son, and you didn't help raise him.
You weren't
like,
here at the all." Fuck? I know.
And she's just like, "Oh, honey, there's our son."
So funny. And he kills he kills the rest of them, and then Zorn at the last minute crashes through.
I hate kids,
and I'm assuming he died of old age or something. I don't know what happened to Zorn.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're all snapped back to where they were originally on the bridge when they knew that the Templar ship was chasing them.
Yeah, like the memory phases in and out, and they're like, "Did we live that?
Yeah.
Did that happen?"
Yeah, even Wetton comes with his robot, his head on a robot, going like, "Did you guys see all that happened to you?" So
yeah.
and then they get to what looks like planet Earth,
yep.
And this is the seventh planet, and they've made it. They made it through the time warp barrier, and they're going to meet her father, and that's when the movie ends. Roll credits. This is a silly, silly movie, but lots of fun. Holly, because you picked this movie, and I'm right behind you on it, but what did you like about it? What makes you wanted to talk about it?
Okay, so I don't know. It's just it's a ridiculous idea of the future. I mean, they have space, pirates, swashbucklers, unicorns, time travel, cyborgs, the masquerade ball, which I love masks. You've seen my office. Mutant herpes, a princess, a time travel baby that saves the day. Like it's obnoxious. It's all
in robots.
I just loved the mishmash of it all. You know, it's meant to be a comedy. It's not meant to be taken seriously. And especially in the '80s, I mean, there were some really great films in the 80s, and I don't know, this doesn't really fit at the same level as some of the great films from the 80s, but sure. Like, I don't know, it's just hilarious. I loved the, you know, the Galaga defense screen on the dash, and
right.
The diversity of the cast was amazing, especially, you know, you're in the 80s, there's, you know, there are little people, there are blacks and Asians and strong female characters. Like, it was a very diverse cast, which I think is great. And then, I mean, hello, you know, you can program a sex room. That's pretty great.
Right.
I did not like, you know, the use of the cutlasses. It was just so damn silly. Like, you are building robots who could literally have built-in weaponry.
Right.
But exactly. They're using cutlasses. I loved that the, you know, they used cutlasses themselves, because, like I said, I do enjoy pirates.
Right.
The soundtrack was annoying just because it was so incredibly optimistic all the time.
Right.
Like, the very first music you hear is when they're, like, gonna you know, commandeer the ice, and it's like, you need to be stealthy. Shh.
I know. It's so funny. The music is so over the top. It's so silly.
Yeah. The only thing there were two things that I noticed that I was just like, oh, that was poor decision. Well, I mean, aside from a couple other things, but
there's only two.
You know, the bounty hunters are not likely to try and kill the people that they're trying to get a bounty on.
Right.
They should have been capturing them instead. And then there's that scene where they are busting out with the princess and getting on the motorcycle, and they go up to the Templar guards and they smash something over their heads, and
it doesn't do anything.
Unfazed.
Yeah.
And they turn around and it's like, chainmail is not going to protect you from blunt force trauma.
Right.
But it does help with shark bites.
Apparently.
So those two things were the only things that I was just like, oh, come on, you broke it for me. You broke... You just rest. You
broke, missed it. Broke the spell. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Only those two things broke the immersion for you? Those
yes. things? Yes. And obviously...
Not everything else in the film?
Obviously, that poor unicorn was harmed when its horn broke off in the guy's chest.
That is a weak horn if it's going to break off in a guy's chest.
Unicorn. Or was he a heavy man?
Yeah, maybe he was heavy. You don't know that.
You don't know. You know, being lodged in somebody's chest cavity, it's probably not coming back out.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, so that's pretty much all I have to say.
That's what you have.
I mean, I just love the costumes, though. I love that they were, you know, Mad Max and Escape right. from New York and Waterworld and all of these other films that are, you know, better than this one, but it just, like, it was great.
Yeah, no, it's a fun movie. Dave, you're not a fan.
It was just like Holly loved this movie for the mishmash. I had such a hard time getting into it because of the mishmash.
Mm.
It just it took me out of it. The movie being such a mishmash of things, like there was not a single cohesive idea in the entire film.
And they're going after water.
They don't even spend the movie.
But then they wasted it having sex.
You've got a point.
The ship had water on it. She never said there wasn't any water on the ship. She said you're going to get the ship with the water after we find my dad. So
yeah, but it's a scarce resource. I mean, it seems like a waste of the most precious resource in the entire world. Like, where money is worthless because water is the most valuable thing, just to use it when you're having sex.
Well, here's something to think about then. Making love is the most important thing in the universe.
And with water.
Oh, so the process.
Water pales in comparison to true love.
Water pales in comparison to the oldest profession in the book.
No.
I said true love, not bumping uglies.
Yeah, I mean, right.
They did, I don't know. I just the movie's lack of cohesion. Like, if they would have gone hard one way or hard another way, it would have been a lot easier to get into. But mm-hmm. Like I said at the beginning, up top, I just feel like they just ransacked a studio and like, we can make a movie based on these props and all the stuff that we found. We can spend almost no money, but somehow they spent $9 million on this.
Well, if the whole plot is that everybody needs water, why are they going to use up resources to, you know, take artifacts from Earth or whatever, and repurpose things when they could just utilize them, like cowboys and turbans and Greek sheets, you know, sheets clad in gold, you know?
And by the way, I love the idea that there were like small little mules and pigs on the ship.
That was pretty funny to show the passing of age to get the baby ones. And it's like, so I mean, like the humor in some points is the only thing that landed because there was like setup and payoff.
Right.
So I mean, like, so as far as how their jokes were constructed, they weren't the worst. I mean, because I mean, in a lot of modern films, jokes are just awful. They're just like just trying to parody something that's in popular culture, and it relies completely on the context of the popular culture. I mean, granted, I'm guilty of that kind of humor in the podcast, but I mean, we are a product of our time. But in the 80s, I do appreciate that they had like the art of the setup, and then the art of like, you know, executing on the setup with the baby animals and turning them old, and like the space herpy joke. I mean, there were some things I could appreciate in the film, but just visually, it was just hard to want to watch and continue watching because like it was like a little bit Mad Max, it was a little bit Alien, it was a little bit Star Wars, a lot of bit Robin Hood, a lot of bit King Arthur in the Night. It was just.
Mm-hmm. They're pulling from a lot of different things, right?
It was so hard to watch in that respect that it just was so all over the place. It's just and like then you have like, you know, the barbarian fantasy woman from like a Dungeons and Dragons or whatever riding their unicorns. Like it just it was so there were so many different things in the movie. It was like, what are you doing? And that took me every time they kept doing more what the fuck stuff. It just kept taking me out of the movie. I mean, sure, like the chainmail thing, that's minor compared to everything. Getting hit on the head, that was minor for my immersion breaking. I'm like, everything else was killing my immersion because there was no cohesive art direction in this film.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, but I do appreciate some of the jokes because there was definitely like, you know, setup and payoff, which is. Which is a foregone art. You don't see that in movies much anymore.
Yeah, there were formulaic jokes for sure.
Yeah,
but everyone was very charming. All the actors, so you know, they're very good at delivering those kind of jokes. At least the cut made it look very, very good. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you're into cheeseball films, I mean, watch this, watch it, and watch it with your heart full of glee, because I think this is the cheesiest movie I've ever seen.
Come on, this is the cheesiest movie I've seen. Way cheaper movie.
Really? All the mishmash to me just makes it filled with so much more cheese. Okay. This is such a cheesy film. I mean, I could be proven wrong. This is the cheesiest movie I've seen in recent memory. Then, if not the not completely, but so cheeseball this movie was. So I mean, I wasn't a fan, but I mean, it was weird and interesting, and I don't want to watch it again. How about you, Aaron?
I have fond memories of this movie. I was probably, when this movie came out, I was like 10 or 11, and it came out at some point on HBO, and it was just like one of those things that it was like always on, and because it was sci-fi, obviously I'd watch it. And it, you know, some of the jokes were probably a little too adult for me, but it was still like, it's still pretty tame if you really think about it. I mean, other than like the space herpes and the one guy drops the N-word at some point, but you know, it's not that bad.
I was really surprised when they did that. I was like, what?
Yeah, well, it's the 80s. Things were very different.
I was like, wow, they did it. I was sort of shocked, but I guess that's our culture now, where it is a shocking thing to hear. But I was like, huh.
Yeah. This was like a movie that I saw, and I there's so many like things I love about, so it's like more nostalgia for me. But I haven't seen it in years. Like, I can't even remember last time I watched this movie. So I mean, I might have been very, very young last time I saw it. So seeing it again was great. And there's parts I totally forgot, like I don't even remember anymore. Mm. So this was great to, you know, just to look back and see it all, and see it in adult eyes. It to me, it's still funny. It's still silly. I love sci-fi when it can get really offbeat. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just that cracks me up, and I think it's great because I do really believe that if we are ever to go into space and meet other aliens and interact with other cultures, it's going to be fucking ridiculously funny. I think there's going to be things where like, what the fuck is that? You know, kind of thing, you know? So mm-hmm. There's going to be all sorts of stuff like that. So that's
all the space herpes all of the time.
Yeah, exactly. So, I love that. I love the eunuch slave thing, the sequence, like them getting shaved and, you know, their crotch going to be bitten off and stuff like that. It's great. I love the, space herpes thing. That was awesome to see again. The time warp sequences and them fighting. There's just so many fun, great scenes. This movie is, it's a B movie. There's no doubt about that, but it's still fun. It's a fun movie to watch. And since we were going to talk about it, there's a couple things. Like one thing is, like, Dave, I think you mentioned that when they got to the seventh world, like the credits just roll. Mm-hmm. Like they don't see him land or anything.
The movie just stops. Like there's not, I mean, I guess you can infer the ending.
Yeah.
But for some reason I got in my mind that it was, like the bad guys made it through too, so they're still being chased. But I guess that's why they're
lost in the time warp.
That's why the time warp stopped and they went back to the regular time, because they got, the bad guys got lost. Mm. But To me, it was sort of unclear, so I kind of thought they were being pursued. That's why I was confused about that earlier.
So there's a...
Am I wrong thinking that the last line of the film is, I guess we're out of business?
Yeah, because they found all that water.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're no longer ice pirates. The movie's over.
They're literally going to flood the market.
Flood.
All that, but they don't know that all that water is salt water. So most of it is.
There was a scene that was cut at the end of it. So at the end of the film, they were meant to arrive at Earth and fly over the beaches in Malibu with people swimming in water. And the studios cut that. And the director basically says, after I said that, I had to drink have a vodka and calm myself down because he was so pissed off. This had a lot of weird things. So apparently the MGM was under this huge budget crisis and they couldn't spend. They only had like a budget of $20 million. And so they could only dole out $8 million per film. So that's all they could spend on this. They spend, I think they said $9 million on this, but in the end, but.
They could have cut a teeny tiny little bit of the time warp.
Yeah.
And given us that final scene.
Yeah, for sure.
And, but then there wouldn't be like all the action at the end that's kind of required for an action 80s
no,
movie.
No, they could have definitely cut, 20 seconds of that. I mean, it was funny. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know if it's going to save you.
It was a progression.
I don't know if it's going to save you that kind of money for getting that.
Well, they've already filmed it, right? Well, if they've already done it.
I mean, that's low budget stuff compared to
flying over Malibu in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Doing a composite scene. I mean, they were just running around like getting bigger and bigger beards. I mean, that's low budget compared to like. Doing all the composite work
you spaceship need to over yeah.
you know, do a spaceship fly over the beach.
You're right.
Let's see what else. Kevin Costner was turned down the role to play Jason. So,
oh, I'm so glad because I like him, and that would have. I mean, it wouldn't have changed anything, I guess, but.
it would have changed nothing. I would have recognized another actor in the movie.
Yeah.
Another funny Star Trek related is Gene Roddenberry. After seeing Ice Pirates, he made a joke saying this was that Ice Pirates was singularly responsible for bringing back the death penalty in California.
Awesome. That's more brutal review than I gave. Go Gene.
Yeah.
Well, so. On the Wikipedia, I think. Yeah. Let me see. The reception that is written on Wikipedia is that the film is somewhat tongue-in-cheek and often compared to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Upon its release, the New York Times described it as busy, bewildering, exceedingly jokey science fiction film that looks like a Star Wars spinoff made in an underdeveloped galaxy. The film is also noteworthy for its cheeky, obviously cut-rate production values, mid-80s colorblind casting, sexual frankness, and near-deliberately slack sitcom direction.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, wasn't Dave said he was waiting for laugh tracks at some point?
it says that Rotten Tomatoes, it's currently a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It deserves every percent.
So anyways, one of the things that we're saying is interesting is the actors are on this. So the guy who played Killjoy is John Matuszak, and he was a football star. So he's went to the he's a like a two-time Super Bowl champion. But he died in 1989. But you might know him best by playing Sloth in The Goonies.
Was he?
He was Sloth in The Goonies.
Oh, that's cool.
He played in a couple movies and a lot of, like, they wanted him to be in this movie, like the producers. So, like, I really like this guy. I want to be in the movie. But he was found dead in 1989, and he had taken Darvocet and with a traces of cocaine in his bloodstream. So, might hurting a little too hard. So he was also in a great movie, comedy movie called One Crazy Summer with Bobcat Goldthwait, which is a funny movie, but talk about that. What's I going to say? Robert Urich, he, like I said, he big star, especially '70s, '80s. He was in a ton of TVs and movies. Spencer for Hire was his big TV thing. I grew up with him. He was like a cops, you know, or like a private detective, you know, solving crimes kind of thing. He died in 2002. And he had a rare form of cancer that killed him. So anyways, yeah, but, you know, actually, I think most of the cast is actually dead now. I could be wrong.
Is Ron Perlman the only surviving member of the Ice Pirates cast?
Angelica Houston is still alive.
Yeah, she's still alive.
Wenton's still alive, the comedian, the guy with the one head guy. And like I said, the guy who played the bad guy Zeno, he's an enigma. I can't figure him. Jeremy West, I can't figure out anything about that guy. He's just the strangest actor I've ever seen. So, but yeah, I love this movie. It's fun. It's so great just to go back and watch it. I haven't watched it, and you know, thanks Holly for picking this movie. I probably wouldn't have watched it on my own.
Well, didn't I inadvertently pick the movie by saying Space Herpes last week? Because that's what brought it up.
Yeah, I think so. We made a joke and you were like, what the fuck is Space Herpes? And we were like, oh, what to talk about.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. I think that's how it went, but I can't quite remember. But
we were drunk.
Yeah, we were drunk. Yeah.
I was sober, believe it or not.
Oh my god! That next morning, I can't even tell you how I felt.
Really? Aw.
Yeah, I was still a little zippy.
For the knights around table, we dance when we're able.
Never able.
I was waiting for this to happen in the movie.
A sing along?
No, just the Monty Python bits because that seemed more in place with the movie than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a farce of a film. Definitely.
Yeah, it is. It's just there are some aspects that are just low budget, and I it's dated in a lot of ways, like the graphics, the robots. You know, I can't get away from it.
I'm just still amazed they spent $9 million on this movie, especially in '80s money. That's got to be like way. That's like got to be like probably like in the teens and twenties nowadays.
I wonder what happened to all of the sets. Like if they weren't a mishmash of sets and they really did build all this crap, like I wonder if they were ever utilized on other films. I mean it's an MGM film, so or production. So I mean it's likely that it was reused, repurposed for other things from the 80s.
Yeah.
They had to have repurposed sets for this film. Like it did. Everything about it just seemed pieced together in the oddest way. Like if they really designed all those like costume, the things I'm pretty sure they designed for this movie were the twink outfits. And
why? It's a spandex with a
twink. Like a, still sounds like an insult to a personal decision.
I mean, I mean, that's just the way it felt to me. Like whenever they're shaving them, making them look more effeminate. That just, I don't know. But, not trying to be offensive. Just the first thing that came to my mind when they were like making all the boys look like really pretty and taking away their masculinity. I don't know. Not trying to be insulting.
Well, they made girls look like boys too.
They did. They made the black guy. He looked like a woman laying in bed. So I mean,
no, yeah. No, I mean the actually like geez. The.
Oh, the Rose. Frog lady.
No, in the lineup, there were women in the lineup as well, and everybody looked the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the big robots, because they didn't remind me of anything else, so they probably spent money on those, but like all the like the cowboy stuff and all the other costumes, I feel like most of those probably had to have been just taken from somewhere else. If they actually made those specifically for this movie, I would be incredibly surprised.
You know, if we didn't convince people last week to watch this movie, I really want to know if we've convinced them this week to watch the movie.
Now they'll be like, oh, maybe I should watch that movie.
I really want
to
know.
Either
please
that or
email.
No one will listen to this episode, and we haven't convinced anybody.
Well.
Although we did get a pretty good number of listens on YouTube for this episode, higher than number for YouTube.
Not that's good.
Our don't previous remember. Episode?
Yeah, the Menagerie. People seem to like the Menagerie.
Very nice.
Nice. Very cool.
Very cool.
Well, anything else we want to bring up about this?
Well, I just wanted to let everyone know I'll probably be MIA for the next 2 weeks. I'm on a weird training schedule with my new job, and it'll just be Aaron and Holly unless they bring in somebody else. They should probably bring in Guy Davis, possibly, because he knows Doctor Who, if they're going to talk Doctor Who.
Oh, that's right. We could do Doctor Who, maybe, possibly.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We could all pick an episode and talk about our favorite episode, but how do you choose one favorite episode from Doctor Who?
I don't know if I could.
You tie a blindfold around yourself and throw a dart.
Yeah, but then I'd have to compile a list, and that's even difficult. Doctor Who is so great.
Just get the Wikipedia page. Just print it out and throw the dart at the Wikipedia page.
No, you can't do that.
It's a long page.
I don't know. I'll think of something. I don't think I have anything left to say about the Ice Pirates. No. It's still fun. I would still watch it again.
Poor souls.
Hey, I like, you know, I don't know if any of your listeners ever listened to the Nerdonomicon when I was on that, but it's one of the things that drove Palmer crazy was that I liked movies that were terrible.
Yeah.
And he's like, how do you like this movie? And I'm like, I
he likes
know.
Movies that are terrible too. Yeah. Well, like The Last Jedi.
he definitely has certain things that are like, you know.
So don't let him rag on you for liking bad movies. He likes bad movies too.
Oh no, it's not just him. Like all my life, it's like, wow, Holly, you like this? The Ice Pirates is one of those movies.
It's still a good movie. I like it.
Ice Pirates is better than The Last Jedi. I'll give it that.
Wow. That's saying a lot.
Yeah. It is. That's, especially since they're like 30 years apart. Right. But yeah, I don't know.
But Ice Pirates didn't make me mad. Ice Pirates made me confused, which is a better emotional state than angry. Last Jedi made me frothingly angry. So,
yeah,
Ice Pirates definitely has wins out over The Last Jedi by far.
You know, I was thinking that maybe if you had been exposed to a broader array of films,
so you're saying
growing
up, sheltered.
Well, maybe you would appreciate this film more if you could go, oh, that's very this, and oh, that's very that, instead of going right to, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
Well, no,
I don't know.
I mean, I could identify, because it was picking up on Alien, it was picking up on Mad Max, it was picking up on lots of films, like, it was picking up on a lot of things. I got the references, but it just felt like a mishmash to me, and that's what made it. Yeah, it was harder to appreciate because I didn't feel like there was a unified vision behind the movie.
Got you. I don't know. I still like it, and I think that, especially for the time, it was a great film. I mean, for putting out a comedy, like, I don't know. I think it's great.
It's fun. It's a fun
movie. It's fun. It is definitely fun.
It's definitely dated.
I wish they had Mel Brooks working on it, because that way it would have been a lot more funny, because I really appreciate Mel Brooks' humor.
I mean...
And some of them were trying to be Mel Brooks-ish, I believe, but like, I just Mel Brooks' like touch is just really nice.
But this is before Spaceballs, so...
Yeah.
But I mean, I like Mel Brooks's all of his stuff from like the 80s pretty much. It was really good.
Right.
You know, Blazing Saddles, Robin Hood in Tights. I guess that was really 90s, but still, like, Mel Brooks is brilliant. He was like, I think he was a producer on the old Get Smart show from like the 60s. I noticed he had like a producer credit or writer credit on that. Like, that show was funny and smart and snappy.
Yeah.
With their humor. So, I mean, Mel Brooks has been around for a long time. It would have been great if Mel Brooks had a little bit more involvement with this.
Yeah,
could have made the movie even funnier.
But what if he was a part of this and then never did Spaceballs? Like, that would be a travesty.
Oh, that's true, because Spaceballs is a work of art.
Yeah, You better not be sarcastic over there.
No, I love Space Oddball. We talked about it on the show a long time ago. Okay. Years and years ago. We were still at the job I met Aaron at years ago when we talked about Spaceballs. And we did that one fun. We actually like played clips of the movie in the show. So if you haven't listened to our Spaceballs episode, go look for it.
I don't even remember what episode that is.
Pre-100.
It's pre-100,
right?
It's
going to be pre-100 because we were still at that place. So,
that place. That shall not be mentioned.
Yeah, no, because you guys had your 100th episode after you met me.
Yeah, that's true. So it was a pre-100 episode. So
That's hilarious. So,
Aaron, any final thoughts on Ice Pirates?
You should watch it just for, if you haven't seen it, just because it's one. Yeah. It's something you should just have some good laughs at. Oh, it's episode 37. It's Spaceballs.
That's, yeah, pre-100 for sure. That's pre-1 year.
That's a long time ago. 2015. Cool.
Well, let's wrap it up. Just watch it. Okay.
just watch. No, you should watch it if you like it. I mean, if you're going to get into like the wonkiness of...
just go in accepting everything. Just accept everything.
If that's the case, then yeah, definitely. If you can't do that, then please don't.
Yeah. And then, you know, we also did Galaxy Quest. So we've done other sci-fi spoof movies, which were fantastic. So if you're in the mood for not Star Trek, go look up some of those archived episodes that are just, we had a lot of fun with.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Well, our music, our intros provided by Dave Wilkes. The rest of our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them online at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. The show you can find online at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. You can join our Facebook conversation at facebook.com/groups/syntholics. You can tweet at us. I am at David_J_Duncan. Holly is at Blackbird. Aaron's at Blackbird 2004. Holly's at Lunar Thistle. And the show's a Syntholic duo.
Very cool. And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us, give us 5 stars, and leave a little comment if you can. That helps people see the show more often. Also, if you can go to our Patreon.com/Syntholics, that's a great way to support us. Throw a buck if you can. Help us support the show and the content that we bring you. And, of course, we ask everyone if you could share the show, tell a friend, on social media, or just, you know, at work, at home, at school, however you listen to this, you know, let people know that Syntholics is a fun show and it's worth listening to because you get to listen to 1984 swashbuckling Ice Pirates content.
Absolutely. Who else is giving you Ice Pirates? I mean, come on.
I don't think anybody.
No, definitely not. Who knows? Maybe it's a film you've never seen, never heard of, never had any interest in watching, and now...
I had never heard of it until you guys mentioned it last week. It was not even close to being on my radar.
On your radar.
not even a mention of this movie, can I recall.
That's hilarious.
I know I've talked... I know Aaron and I have...
we've talked about this before, yeah, for sure.
On the show?
Yeah. On the show or, you know, like, on mic, but not... You know,
I must have I didn't understand it, so I just like, okay.
Blocked it out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I thought it was like some inside joke. I guess it is sort of, it was an inside joke until I've seen the movie, so yeah.
Aren't you so happy you're on the inside of that joke now?
No. I make a joke all the time.
Face herpes.
Yes.
Oh, and that thing.
Yes.
So, what do we want to talk about next week? Do we want to...
Utters.
Utters. Do we want to do something that's all... like, probably not another farce. Maybe something serious? Or something groundbreaking in sci-fi films?
I don't know. We could.
Maybe we should discuss this off the air. Well, thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all! Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Now we can talk about what we're doing next.
Don't kiss face herpes, people.
don't do it. It's not safe. I don't know. The space herpes burst out of the bird, the turkey that they were going to eat. Those poor, they couldn't have the turkey.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
That was really funny. Ron Perlman as a cook was like, he's like, it's my dead grandmother's recipe, the stuffing. And just watch as I cut it. And the juices are just perfect. And he goes to cut it. And it's like, ah!
I know, it's great. And this thing popped out. Like,
what is that? Did you? Who knew about this? A week ago. Just found out.
Yeah, we kind of knew it was floating around.
That's great. I love it.
But yeah, what do we want to do? Do we want to... shall we be serious? We're not going to have as many dick and ball jokes with David gone.
I mean, come on. You got to get Guy Davis to come in and do them. Tell him he's got big shoes to fill.
Big shoes.
I think that'd be hilarious if you get him in, like, just have him play the part of David. And then
clown shoes. He would never do that.
You should make him. I would love to hear this and edit it.
I don't know if I can make him do it, but.
Get your whip out!
Get that dick jokes out.
Whip it out.
What about, we could do, if you want to do like a big film, we could do something like...
Citizen Kane.
No, that's just...
Have you guys done Avatar yet?
Nope.
Never done Avatar. We could do Avatar.
Avatar's good.
Especially with Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 coming out in the next 16 years.
Am I wrong thinking that there is a book that James Cameron wrote? Or is it just film, like film inspired everything?
It's his own thing. And I think the movie is going to flop because everyone saw Avatar, but no one remembers Avatar.
Oh, I fucking love Avatar.
Really?
On Michael's first deployment, I watched Avatar every fucking day. I just loved that movie.
You must be a big fan of Pocahontas and Ferngully as well.
Yeah. What's wrong with Pocahontas or Ferngully?
I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. My beef is...
Krista's my girl.
My beef is more with Avatar being just a live-action / CG version of both of those films.
Well, they don't have Tim Curry as slime and toxic sludge singing and crooning to them.
One thing it doesn't have, but
I'm just saying.
But I mean, like, they've got something close. It's called unobtainium.
Oh,
it's because they cannot obtain it.
They can. They're just gonna have to commit semi-genocide to do it.
Yeah. Well, Krista's never gonna let that happen.
What about the Matrix?
I do want to talk about the Matrix.
I want to talk about the Matrix.
Oh, all right.
You guys can do Avatar without me. That'd be fine.
He's like, yeah. Leave me out of that. But
I mean, we could do Avatar. It's been a while since I've seen Avatar, so I could watch it again.
Yeah, you have access to it.
I'm sure I could get my hands on it one way or the other. Yeah,
I do love Avatar.
I might have it on Blu-ray somewhere. I don't know.
You sound tired.
I've had a cold this whole week, so my voice is a little raspy.
It's perfect for ice pirates.
Yeah, I guess.
If anything can be perfect for ice pirates.
I know, it's a weird movie.
That's why it's perfect, because nothing is perfect for ice pirates, because it's a hodgepodge movie.
It is a hodgepodge.
There's a lot of funny parts to it.
I agree. I found myself smiling almost the whole time.
Yeah. Just so many silly things about it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Young Ron Perlman, that's what stuck out most to me.
That was your takeaway?
I was like, oh, wow, young Ron Perlman.
Huh. his hand cut off.
He's the only person I recognize in the entire film.
What about Angelica, what's her name? It's Angelica, right?
Yeah, Angelica Houston.
Yeah.
Who is she?
Morticia Adams.
Adams from the Adams family.
What's that?
The female family? Pirate. She's Morticia from the Adams family.
What's the Adams family?
Shut your face.
Come on.
I'm going to open my can of soda water.
The show or the movie?
The movie.
The movie.
Never saw them.
What's wrong with you?
My parents are what's wrong with me. I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Yeah, but
and look
how
what
long
they've done to you.
How long have you been out of your parents' house?
A long time, but I haven't had the impetus. I didn't have the same impetus to watch it now as when I was younger. Plus, I've been having to catch up on all the Fast and the Furious movies so we can watch the new spinoff this summer. Only halfway through. There's a bajillion Fast and the Furious movies.
No, tell me you're not watching those.
I am watching those. Kaylee loves
Why?
Them.
She likes those?
Yeah.
They're Michael's favorite too.
She loves them. And Aaron, believe it or not, like they get better when Justin Lin's directing them. Like I think it was like the fourth one he directed. And I was like, wow, this one's substantially better than all the other ones. And then I didn't see the director because I don't think his name showed up to the very end of the movie. I'm like, Justin Lin directed. I'm like, oh, because he did the best of the three Star Trek reboots, and it was measurably better. Usually sequels get worse.
Yeah.
And the first one's been my least favorite so far, actually. So.
Yeah, I saw the first one, and I think I might have seen part of the second or third one. I don't remember, but it was all pretty bad to me, and I was like, I don't know what I'm watching here and why this is why this is popular.
And why this is a phenomenon. I mean, like, I don't know. I didn't start liking it really till 4. I mean, they were okay, but, like, when Justin Lin was in the director's seat, it was definitely better. And he directed 5, too, which I've seen 5. I haven't seen 3 yet, because 3 is chronologically, like, 6 or 7, so we're watching them in chronological order.
Oh, Tokyo Drift or whatever.
Yeah.
No.
Well, Robert Urich plays Jason, and he was a popular actor back in the day.
Was he?
In the 80s.
Doesn't look familiar to me at all. Like, no one looks familiar to me. Except for Ron Perlman.
Man.
It's because you weren't allowed to watch film.
Anything. The only thing that really like stuck out for me that I couldn't figure out was the guy who plays the bad guy Zorn. Mm-hmm. He's this character. The actor's named Jeremy West, and like mm-hmm. he has like maybe 5 or 6 films credit to him, mm-hmm. and they span from like the 70s into the 2000s. I'm like, what is that guy doing, and how is he in films, you know?
How has he only done 5, and he's been doing it for how long?
Yeah.
He's like,
What's crazy is that he's super familiar looking.
He's such an, like, he's an ugly dude, so it's hard not to notice him, you know? So, I don't know. It was weird. I was like, what? Who is this guy, you know? So, anyways.
Who was he? What was his name?
Well, his name is Zorn in the movie. But Jeremy West is the actor's name.
I think the bad guy was vaguely familiar, but I couldn't put my finger on it, so I don't even like. That's why I wasn't really comfortable saying I knew him. But like Ron Perlman was like super obvious. Yeah. Morticia Adams. I mean, maybe I don't know. I just
she's in other things.
She didn't. It didn't really ring a bell with me. I was like. Oh.
Yeah, she's quite a bit younger.
I think the ripped girl, or the girl who was painted to look ripped, who's standing next to the guy with the glasses to his right. It was like, why is she painted to look more ripped than she is? This looked really weird.
There were other warriors that were similarly painted, just not as drastic.
Well, yeah, but like her face and her body were completely different color. Like they didn't match for their face at all. And the thing is, like they showed other scenes, like where she.
Should
wasn't
we start
so
talking? Should we start recording so that this like is on?
We'll get back into it. or we can stop and get back into it. I'm recording for outtakes and shit.
Oh. Right now.
So I think I've got the fuck you about the Addams Family in here.
Oh, come on.
I didn't see it. And, like, when I wanted to see it, I couldn't see it. And then, like, after so long, it just never, ever came back up again. I mean...
Well, you should. You should see it. They're actually making a new animated one.
Really?
Yes. The trailer for it is quite cute.
Detective Pikachu is super cute. I don't know why this wouldn't be up your Holly, up your alley, Holly, because you love kids movies, and it's totally a kids movie, and it was a well done kids movie. It was fun.
I'll watch it. It's just I was never into Pokemon.
But the thing is, I was into Pokemon, and when I heard about it, this sounded like the dumbest thing to me ever. And then it actually ended up being, like, not bad. And usually video game movies are awful. So, I mean, you've got the fact that it's a cute kids movie going for it for you. And it's a video game movie that's not awful, which almost never happens. I mean, it's like a pretty play-by-the-numbers kids movie as far as, like, plot and shit goes, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Which means it's, like, not an awful movie, necessarily. It's pretty decent. It was cute. You like cute things. I think you'd like it.
I do like cute things.
It was very cute. Very cute.
I also like really bad things, like Ice Pirates.
Well, the first time the female protagonist talks, it's awful, so you'll love it. It's so bad. It is so awful with the first things that come out of her mouth. I don't know if it's the lines or if it was the first delivery she did and they just went with that take. I don't know what. Because she got better.
Pikachu, or you were talking about Ice Pirates?
No, Detective Pikachu. The woman who who's the lead, the girl. I don't know how old she is. Like teeny. I don't know how old she is. Like she's a girl. And her first delivery is awful. And I don't know what they did. But she gets better as the movie goes on. But I was just like, oh my god, I'm gonna hate her if she delivers all her lines this badly.
But it got better, I'm assuming.
Yes, it did. It did. I didn't hate her at the end of the film. I was super dubious about her the first time seeing her, and then it got better. Her Psyduck was the best character in the entire film. Psyduck was awesome.
Oh, Psyduck's hilarious.
Psyduck is hilarious.
He's the most useless Pokemon, period.
He does something useful in the movie, which is kind of great. So, I mean, like, if you're a fan of Psyduck, Aaron, you should definitely give this movie a watch. It was pretty good. I think we should talk about it on Setaholics eventually. It was I mean, you've made Pokemon references with zero provocation, Aaron, so...
I made Pokemon references before Pokemon came back into vogue.
Yeah, you did. Like, four years ago, when it was just the hardcore people still playing the video game.
Yeah, the only reason I don't know why, but at certain points in my life, I would come home and Pokemon would be on and I would just watch it. And, I just got to know it. I never played the card game. I didn't know anything else about it. I just watched the films with Ash and Pikachu. You know, it just was on and I just would watch it. And I got to know it all. And then my kids got back into it, like, later on.
Yeah.
So
I watched Pokemon. I watched the hell out of it when I was, like, 14. Like, I was watching it as I was playing, like, Red and Blue, back in the OG Pokemon.
So it's all gibberish to me. Except kill. I know who Ash is.
You do know, yeah, good. Yeah,
just because of cosplayers.
Ash Ketchum.
Ash Ketchum.
He's been 11 years old for 14 years. This is Michael Jackson's dream.
Ash Ketchum.
Michael Jordan. No, Michael Jackson. Love it, a perpetual 11-year-old.
Well, maybe Michael Jordan would, too.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. No. I mean, he's a competitor. So, maybe Michael Jordan might get
He gets competitive with Michael Jackson so you can get the youngest one. That'd be great.
I meant Ash was a competitor because he does all the tournaments.
Oh, gosh. Oh, sorry. Did you see the Leaving Neverland thing?
I did not watch that documentary yet.
No, it seems a little disturbing. I don't know if I really need to see it.
Right.
It's messed up. It's super messed up.
I still like Thriller. I'm sorry. I'm not never going to change. it's still a great song.
Well, I mean, you heard what the last podcast and Left Guy said about it. Like,
I know. You know what? Those rumors, I assumed they were always true.
You did, yeah.
I always assumed he was a freak, so, I mean...
Super freak! I mean, I love how his songs, like, you know, I kind of point to it, like, Bad Smooth Criminal, and
Beat It. I don't know. Yeah. But, I mean, my thing is more of, you think about it, it's like, here's a guy who his father made him become a star, and there's rumors that his father chemically castrated Michael Jackson. So
he gets...
There are certain chemicals you can give people that basically they're limp for the rest of their life.
Oh, wow.
And this is the way he did it also was so he would be able to sing in that high falsetto constantly. So I don't know if there's any reality to that, but.
Right.
Well, he could definitely get off according to the documentary?
I really don't know. I couldn't tell. I don't know shit. So
Michael does not let Michael Jackson feel music.
Ah.
Intrude his ears. But Scandroid, as I was saying earlier, Scandroid made a really, really good, like, ode to Thriller on his Monochrome album. It's pretty good.
Oh, nice.
Do you remember the Final Fantasy movie that came out in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s?
No.
I haven't seen any of them.
It was an all CG movie, like super. It was like it was one of the early attempts at hyper like realistic.
Oh, I didn't see it, but I remember when it came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, on the DVD, they did they animated Thriller with all the characters from the movie, them dancing the Thriller song.
Nice.
I remember that being a special feature on the thing. And the thing that kills me about that movie is like you could tell it took them like decades to make it because the details and the characters get better as the movie goes on, so it's, like, really weird.
Right.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not a good movie, like, as far as story and, like, plotting go, it's not good at all. But, I mean, if you like technology and, like, computer animation, it's interesting to watch, at least for that, because it was one of the first attempts at, like, hyper-realistic, photorealistic characters in a film. That I'm aware of, yeah. So it was well done in that respect. Story was fucking garbage, though.
I believe it.
Cool. Oh, so we got the Patrick Stewart leaks or the Picard show. Picard,
yeah.
Is it actually called Picard, or are they just saying it's Picard?
No, it's called Picard.
Well, I think they heard us about the Michael Burnham show, so they're just gonna call it Picard.
Picard show.
Because maybe season 3 of Discovery will just be rebranded as the Michael Burnham show. That'd be great. Star Trek Burnham.
There's somebody leaked that little, did you see that little clip they leaked about on the show?
No, I just saw that photo.
I've only seen the stills.
So that still, if you see him like Patrick Stewart looking kind of like an old man surprised or something like that.
Or just annoyed.
Annoyed. Yeah, there's a guy, there's like a Starfleet officer, and he goes, "And sir, what's your name?" And he just kind of goes like, Like you don't know my name kind of thing, so.
You don't know who I am? Who are these children? They should be beaten.
Yeah. That's the only thing that was, you know, released so far, or leaked. So, I don't know.
Cool. I mean, other than that, there's nothing too big in the news that I saw, anyway.
No.
I'll mention that I talked to Tony Todd, and we'll be doing The Visitor when I'm not working Sundays.
Oh, right.
Because you and Holly will be doing whatever the next couple weeks.
Is that next week?